Welcome to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
I'm Mike.
And tonight we're podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 2, Pastor Tim.
Pastor Tim, and he wasn't even in this episode.
No. I mean, there wasn't like a whole lot about it, but it was, I mean, an important scene came up about Pastor Tim, but you're right, he didn't even show up. But the title of this episode is kind of where I thought we'd start off in episode one, considering the way we ended the end of season three. I thought we'd start off, I mean, that was seemed like a huge obstacle that was just like dumped on him. But
what do you mean, the information they gave Paige?
The information when she told Pastor Tim, that was the very last scene we saw.
And you thought it would start off, this episode would be, that the first episode would be more like this episode.
I was surprised that the first episode almost ignored the Pastor Tim. I mean, not really. There was things about it where Elizabeth was bugging his office and stuff like that, but I'm just surprised that it wasn't a bigger blow-up.
It didn't blow up quicker?
Right. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. So, what did you think about this episode?
I liked it. I thought it was great. I'm glad they did it. They started it off right exactly where they ended the last one. I always like it. I always like that.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't like the passage of time where you're supposed to assume certain things necessarily. So I like that. I like that part about it.
Yeah. I do think, though, with this Pastor Tim thing, I think on this one, when I read the title, and I thought there was going to be even more stuff. Like you said, he wasn't even in it, even though it was really. But it's kind of been about him as an undercurrent ever since Paige told him, because you just kind of have to sit back and you never know
what's going to happen. He's just hanging out there.
Or who could knock on the door now because of the information. They don't know what he's doing.
They can't let him live.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. I mean, what are they going to do? Any more thoughts on if you think he could be a Russian spy? Have you changed your mind about any of that? Working with Gabriel? No. Or any of them? No.
No, he's not.
Or anybody else that they haven't let him know? You still don't think so?
No, I think he's just a...
I just think he would have done something by now. How would you not have done something when days are passing?
I don't know. I just think he's your garden variety, you know...
You don't think he would have done... I can't imagine giving this information to anybody and them not...
Acting on it immediately?
Yeah, well, acting on it when... I mean, if you didn't go that night when somebody called you, like, the next day...
Well, in the 80s...
That's what I started to say, think about the time frame, too.
Maybe. Yeah, but then again, he might be worried about Paige, and he might just be, you know... Because he doesn't have to do anything. He can pick his moment. It's not like... He doesn't realize, I don't think, their level of participation in this program.
I still think he might be a spy, but you're right. We start off this episode with him walking in the house. It's right after Stan's grabbed.
Yep, Stan roughed him up and almost caught the virus.
Yeah, that was rough. Well, they go downstairs and they put that vial, that little tin vial, in an igloo cooler. And the vial, I think I called it like an Altoid tin.
It looks like
week.
But there was some other writing on it. It wasn't Altoids.
No, it said Red Creek Smoking Tobacco. Finest quality, extremely mellow. That's what it said on
That's
the
funny.
Front of the tin.
Finest quality, deadly disease.
And mellow, the word mellow on it. When I tried to look it up to see what it was, the only thing I could find was like vintage. Evidently, they sell a lot of vintage tobacco tins and snuff tins and stuff like that on eBay and places like that. But I couldn't find anything specific about it. But they put it in that secret hiding place behind the dryer. They've like pulled out the dryer and pulled out the, or took off the...
It's like a return vent for the air conditioning unit. They got the dryer sitting in front of it.
If you had something that could be transmitted through the air... If that's really a return vent to
it's
your
a return,
house,
yeah.
Do you think that's where you might want to put something that...
That is not the place
leak?
I think you would put it.
I wouldn't think so either. But now this is where they have the conversation about Est.
Funny. He turned around and he's got to fess up and he is just so busted. I felt so bad for him, you know, having been married 30 years and having been busted a few times. For various things. And there he is. She's asking questions, and he's embarrassed by it, kind of. And he's got to answer. You can just tell it's painful for him.
Yeah, he's pretty sheepish about it. He talks about how he met Sandra there because that's where she was going, and that she was explaining all the S stuff to me, and how he felt drawn to it. And she's asking him why.
Think about it, though. I know, yeah. She's sitting there trying to understand, and he's sitting there embarrassed. But it's not just the husband-wife dynamic we've got. We've got two highly trained, Russian military-trained spies. And the one spy has to explain to the female spy, the male spy has to explain to the female spy why he's trying to get in touch with his feelings. Now, these are two professional assassins. Can you imagine his embarrassment?
Well, this is where she asked him about what he felt the other day, and if that's what he learned there, because he said you get in touch with your feelings.
Yeah, something you can see or something you can't see.
Yes, she was definitely bringing up the William thing, which I have to give you kudos, because you caught that last week perfectly. You said that's what she was so shocked, and that this was Phillip's est training that was coming out on him. I feel like something's off with that drop off with William. And you pegged it, because that's exactly what she's asking him
this
here.
This is why I get the big bugs.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Well, I wondered. But Phillip says it doesn't work like that, but it's hard to explain. And then she asked him...
Do you think she was really interested, though, when she said why? Was she interested in why, or was she jealous?
Because you know she was a little jealous.
Because she asked, "Would it be something you would take me to?" And I was wondering if it was beyond her worrying about him getting too in touch with his feelings to compromise his mission, you know, being mission oriented, and get in the way of their main.
Their overall
thing. Yeah, their overall mission. Or was she asking why and asking, is it something you'd take me to? Because she was a little jealous of Sandra.
That's the first time I think I've gotten a kind of, I don't know, sometimes when she talks about Martha, I get the feeling that she's a little bit jealous, but that just might be my take on it. But I definitely get the feeling that there was something more to that why.
Well, you know, Elizabeth is hard to read. Is she hard to read for you? I mean, I wonder if it's her character that's hard to read or just the actress that's hard to read.
That's a good question.
She's hard to read when she asks questions like why, and she's interrogating him. She's
really interrogating
him, and you really don't know where she's going. She's and the way she's dealt with other people, you know, she'd be able to work me real easy. I mean, I can't read her.
You're so gullible.
No, I mean, but...
A six-year-old.
No, she's good.
Could read you.
Don't
she
you think
is,
she's
yeah,
good?
Yeah, no, she really is good. But what about when he says, sure, that he'd like her to go? Did you buy that sure at all? Did you think he meant that?
She really wanted to go.
Well, she didn't say she wanted to go. She just said, is this something that you would want me to go to? Well, and he kind of paused and goes, sure. Like... I mean,
now you got that Mars and Venus thing going. I mean, what? I heard her say, do you want me to go?
No, she didn't. She
I
didn't
know,
say
but
that.
When you say, is this something you would want me to go to, then you're asking to go.
Well, he said sure, but I didn't. It was almost like a deer in the headlights, sure, because it was, I don't know why he wouldn't want her to go.
I don't think he,
I don't
he's
think
sharing
he wants
more,
him to go.
He's sharing more with her right now, but I don't know whether he really wants to see her to see him as vulnerable Phillip. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like almost like maybe it's sharing too much and she doesn't need to see. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that side of him, maybe.
I think he's a little worried that she might be overly concerned with him getting so in touch with his feelings and getting away from his analytical spy self.
Well, that's definitely what she is. I don't want to call her a narcissist, but I'm not sure what the right word
she
would
is a
be.
Russian patriot. She is all
She's
about
mission focused.
She is mission oriented.
But that kind of stuff, I felt like when she was asking him why, it was almost almost a curiosity, like, why on earth would you want to do that kind of thing?
I think a part of her just wanted to make him squirm a little bit.
No, I don't think so. I think she was really concerned over that because she was concerned over Stan coming over. Look, we discussed it last week. Stan being mad at Philip is not a good thing.
No, it's not.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah, the longer he stays mad, the worse it is.
Right, so I think she was concerned about that. She's got Paige on her mind and all that stuff going on that she didn't even know about yet, but she's concerned. And then, you know, she's got this vial. Okay, I haven't seen Elizabeth shook up about a lot of things. Most things she does, and it's matter of fact, and she dusts her hands and walks away. She shook up over this vial being in her house.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. We'll talk about that when we get to it.
Well, then Philip and Elizabeth go to Gabriel. And they thought, I think, right, that they were just taking this vial to Gabriel.
Right. He does not want to take it back.
Nobody wants this vial.
And Gabriel says, why don't you just take it before they tell me to tell you? And he says, why don't you just take care of it before they tell you?
Yeah, until they tell you to tell me.
And he leaves it sitting there, and Philip picks it up.
Yeah, that's a rough one, didn't you think? Because he doesn't want that.
No, nobody wants to be near this thing.
But Gabriel says, now, this is what he's saying. He's saying that 20 years of hepatitis and E. coli, he never thought they'd get to this point where they've actually got something of this magnitude. But he says there's nastier stuff than this, and it's in biocontainment level 4, but William can only access level 3 through level 3.
And after he talks to William the next time, you wonder if that's on purpose.
I know. Well, right. Yeah, there's some stuff about that, too. But this is where Gabriel's saying that he's not a happy person, William's not, and that his disposition is what stops him
from being advanced.
Right.
With his security
clearance. Right, which goes back to what you were saying.
But William is a barrel of laughs, I mean.
He's
the life of the party.
Yeah. But they have to get the code to biocontainment level 4.
So he can get in there, not to get a clearance. That's just to get him in the room.
Right, after hours. And so he gives Elizabeth a list of everybody in the company. So we know that's going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that's going to work for the people in the company. It ain't going
to... Whatever it takes.
It's going to be bad news for somebody in one way or another, I would think. But they need to get this vial out of the country is what the whole thing's about. They're trying to get it out of the country.
Yeah, trying to get it back to back to Russia.
Right. So this is where Gabriel brings up that computer that the center bought for the kids.
He's always got a surprise. Have you noticed every time they come over, he's got
it's
a gift.
Something.
He's got a cassette tape or something that he gives them.
What did you think about that? This felt like a... I don't know, is it an underhanded, a backhanded gift? What did you
the
think
computer?
About it? Yeah.
No, he's trying to give him a computer.
Mm-mm, I don't think so, because Philip and Elizabeth weren't happy with the computer. And they said, I thought the center was going to back off Paige for a little while. I think this is a way to have contact or something with Paige. Some
maybe.
Way to maybe get propaganda to
her.
I
didn't think about that.
Or something. Because they're not happy with it. And even Elizabeth's not happy with it. Because she was under the impression that they were going to back off Paige for a little bit. So, I didn't know where that would go. But Gabriel says that he kind of tries to play it off. It's just a life skill for kids these days. Don't worry about it. Everybody needs to do it. Then we go where Arkady is talking to Oleg and telling him about his brother.
Yeah, his brother died. They took it kind of hard.
Yeah, he did. He's visibly shaken, and he's saying that he finished his tour in October and he could have been home.
Yeah, he volunteered to stay probably.
Yeah, but he wasn't. But that was bad, so we know Oleg's upset. Then we go back to their washroom, their laundry room, and this is where Elizabeth is listening to the tapes.
Oh man.
And she hears her daughter's voice on there
telling Pastor Tim
everything. What do you think was going through her mind when she did that?
I can't even imagine. I'm sure she was...
She certainly seemed really upset. Then we see Philip. He comes home. It looks like it's soon after this happens. And Elizabeth goes out to the garage to meet him. and she's telling him about what happened, what she's heard. And Philip wants to know if he's told anybody, but Elizabeth says, you know, not on the tape, he didn't. So he didn't pick up the phone right away and call anybody. And this is where they're talking about Elizabeth saying that they don't have any choice but to kill him, but Philip thinks that's going to make her...
alienate Paige.
Right.
Who do you agree with? From a mission standpoint, they've got to get rid of him. They have to.
I'm going to be surprised if this ends up like this. It might. It might just be something that plays out, and we've certainly seen that they don't mind getting rid of whoever stands in their way, right, or whoever compromises anything to do with what their mission. But I'm going to be surprised if this doesn't twist in some way. Doesn't twist in they turn him, they get him doing something. If he's not a spy already, if he's not somebody, they get something on him because he's an activist or something they can use against him. I don't know. I think it would be a whole lot more interesting than if they just kill him, if they end up getting something and kind of try to twist it around. I think it makes for a more interesting story.
Maybe.
But I don't know. But Philip's saying maybe they should just leave. Now, what do you think about that comment? Because Philip just drove up, and he hasn't had any... he doesn't know any, you know, anything that's gone on with Paige or anything. And that's one of the... I mean, this whole conversation is a minute. And he says, maybe we should just leave. Do you think that's something he was thinking about? Leaving? Because he came up with that awfully quickly.
Yeah, but he's been trending this way.
Yeah, well, because of S, do you think? You think it might be something to do with
even
that?
Even before S.
I agree. He was, I don't know, what's the word? Softening or showing signs of liking, not being against.
I think he's losing his zeal for his mission.
His fervor for...
Yeah.
Okay, then we go to Agent Gadd talking to Stan.
That was funny. He does not like the situation he finds himself in.
No,
Stan.
He doesn't, does he?
Stan doesn't have to report to him. He was told by Gad's boss that he reports directly to him. And I'm sure that Gad's boss told Gad,
don't interfere with this. He's getting some good...
Right. He's doing good work. You stay out of it. He reports directly to me. And that's all over Gad.
He handles it pretty well, though,
didn't
you think?
Yeah, but he's making these little smart-aleck comments about, you know, you don't fill out your reports. And
Gad's always made smart-aleck comments.
Though. I know I'm not in the loop. And, of course, Stan's trying to be gracious. You know, I report everything to you, sir.
Yeah, Stan tries to be gracious, but he goes on and does whatever he wants to do anyway. He always kind of has in there.
He does that.
But he tries to be nice. But this is where Agent Gadd says he has to sit down with Jean's parents now. And they've got an attorney. Now, Jean's the computer guy that Philip killed to clear Martha.
Right, made it look like a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And why he would their family would have a lawyer, I don't get it, do you?
I don't know if... No, I don't. I was going to ask you if you thought the FBI brought them in for questioning and they're bringing a lawyer, or if they brought a lawyer in there because they didn't like or didn't believe what was going on with their son. I wondered which way you thought that was going.
I couldn't tell. I can't tell either. I don't know.
Well, then we see incognito Philip in Pastor Tim's office going through everything. At first, I thought he was looking for the bug, but I thought that didn't make any sense because Elizabeth could tell him where the bug is, right? And why would you take a bug out of the office if you've got a way to, you know, monitor what's going on in there, considering what he knows? But he was looking for a planner, right? Some way to know what Pastor Tim was doing.
Where he was going to be and when, so that they could intercept him and, you know...
Right, so they would know his movements to know...
Yes, when to kill him.
To go to the net, right, to figure out what they were going to do. So then we see Stan, and he's pulling up at home as Philip's pulling up. And Stan's checking his mail, so he's right there.
They don't speak. No, nervous tension. They're just looking at each other.
So how long do you think that's going to go on?
Not very long.
And isn't it funny, kind of, that Stan's still having a relationship with Henry? or not.
It's interesting, but you can tell that...
it's genuine.
Yeah, and Henry's not getting a lot of attention from Dad, and Stan's not getting any attention from his son. So they're surrogates.
Wow, yeah. I think you're right. But inside, Philip goes to Elizabeth, who's in bed, and he's telling her about Pastor Tim and the cabin where he writes his sermons and everything. And this is where Elizabeth says she'll check it out tomorrow after she sees Gabriel. But Philip says that maybe Gabriel will have some brilliant idea to save the day. He's still holding out, I think, that somebody comes up with something different to handle this. What? I don't know. But they discuss what might happen if Paige finds out that they did something to Pastor Tim. And they're kind of at odds with... how to handle that.
Yeah, they're just fleshing it out.
Right. But Philip says he's just trying to find something good in this, and Elizabeth says he might get what he wanted. But Philip said he didn't want any of this, and he didn't.
Yeah, but that was a bigger statement. I think that was going back to his, why don't we just leave? I don't want any of this.
Oh, you think? You think it was...
I think he's just getting to the point where he wants to live his life, and he's not into this spy stuff much anymore.
I'm not sure he's that far, but I do see...
I think he's growing that way.
I think he might be, because he seems kind of sad all the time. He seems kind of down. I know he's got a lot going on and everything, but nothing...
Well, he loves his family, and he sees what... He just sees the direction things are going, and he's unhappy with,
right,
with this spy gig.
Well, then we go to a commercial, and we come back, and this is where Nina's meeting with Boris. And Boris is her husband.
Yeah.
That was the oddest.
And he's got a woman he lives with, and they have two children.
But he's still married to Nina.
They've been married for years. And she doesn't want a divorce.
And I don't know that he did either.
That's really strange.
He was kind of waiting to hear from her, because he thought when he heard from her, it would be to get a divorce. And she said, a divorce after all these years? Why would I do that? Now, what was the conversation about the baby?
She evidently had an abortion.
Is that what... I kind of thought that's what... I wasn't sure.
I wonder what would happen if you'd kept the baby.
Right.
If she'd lost it, I think that he would have said something like, I wonder what would have happened if you hadn't lost the baby. But if you had kept the baby, kind of denotes you got rid of the baby. You didn't keep the baby.
Are we going to find out that maybe she had a child and put it... somewhere?
Maybe. You're right. Pastor Tim might be a Russian spy, and she had his baby, and Boris didn't know about it. As good a chance of that
happening.
Okay,
I'm not seeing all that.
Okay, well, I'm not either, but I'm not seeing Pastor Tim as a spy or her having had a child.
But wasn't it sad, because Boris, you could tell, loved her and loves her. Did you gather that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
After all these years, sure, he hasn't even heard from her.
They genuinely seem like they enjoy each other's company. I guess she just entered the... she just wanted the life of a diplomat. You think
somebody got something on her, or...
No, because he said, you know, my world was just too small for you. So
right. Maybe that's what he thinks.
She wanted something bigger.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I
don't ever trust the story that we're
told. I've got it figured out. Trust me on that one.
Okay. But I did notice that with her smile, we've not seen Nina in this whole time since we've seen her. We've not seen her with that kind of smile on her face.
Haven't seen her teeth.
It was really kind of neat. But then she gives him a letter. We don't know what it is.
Well, I had a good idea.
Well, yeah, but we didn't know the details of it. You know, I was thinking she had taken Anton's letters that he'd written to his son and passed it off to him.
That's what I originally thought, too.
But she asks him, she wants a favor, and starts talking about this guy, Gorlick, and what he used to do. I guess
he's a smuggler.
Yeah. And she asks him to take something, and he asks if that's allowed, and she says it's just better not to ask.
Yeah.
Then we come to the bus shuttle scene.
Man, this is why I watch this show.
Okay, tell me.
This is classic Cold War cloak and dagger stuff. I mean, he's on a bus with trying to hand off, you know, in disguise, Russian spy on a bus, in the back of the bus with his contact who's a pilot who's going to fly this deadly virus that they had to get, you know, clandestinely to him, from William, the guy they've got in the thing. They've got this potent virus, and he's going to hand it off. And while he's back there, you know, and you got a soundtrack playing, A Tainted Love, you know, that's
could it be any more perfect, the song?
Could it be any more 80s?
The girl, well, and Tainted Love?
Yeah, Tainted. Now, you know what that song was? The Soft Cell, I think his name was Mark Almond or something, Almond. And they were a one-hit wonder out of Britain. And the song was the number one selling single in 1981, and it recharted in 1991 at number 5.
Really?
Yeah. And Soft Cell had no other hits in the United States, but they had several other hits in the UK. So they were a one-hit wonder here. But, you know, they played that song over and over, I remember, in the early 80s.
Sure.
So this is perfect. But the singer was trying to draw a connection between the rise of AIDS, you know, Tainted Love. So he connected the song to the rise of AIDS, and I think that's why they...
So it was about an epidemic.
It was a cover song from a girl, I forget, or Gloria somebody from 1964. And she, some guy named Cobb wrote the song. She recorded the song and had some success with it. But she said later she liked Soft Cell's version better.
That is so catchy. Tell me, since we watched that, how often has that song went through your head? Because it's been in my head all day long.
But Philip back there in the back, and that guy coming up, and Philip just, I mean, this nervous pilot. This pilot does not want to, he's afraid he's going to get caught. I mean,
yeah, there's something really.
He's just nervous.
He's like done.
And
with
here
this,
comes a little, you know, dopey security guard. You go, I've got to do my job, sir. And they try to play it off, and the security guard's not having any of it. And he turns around, and Philip looks, and he assesses the situation. He looks up, he sees the girl listening to her tape. He sees the guy up front in the bus. He looks over and sees the bus driver still on a smoke break. And he turns around and he makes the call. And here's a Russian spy killing the guy who's going to compromise the mission in the middle of the night. And then he chokes him out. He stuffs his body. All while these people are facing forward, he stuffs his body.
She's got the headphones in, and I think the old guy up front was asleep. I think he was asleep on the bus. It looked like he was. So, but you're right. Philip, as he walked on the bus, he was assessing. There was only the two people on the bus that I remember seeing.
Yeah, but he assessed right there in that one instance when he turned around. When the guard walked past him, and now he's standing behind the guard.
Mm-hmm.
The guard's talking to the pilot. He turns around, he looks, makes a real quick judgment call, and does it. Kills him, stuffs him over against the, you know, out of sight. And, of course, the pilot, you know, he don't know what's going on. And then sets back down, fixes his little wig, fixes his clothes, and looks around, and he got away with it.
Just calm as
that
everything.
That was...
And it all ends just as the song Tainted Love ends, and she turns it off. That's even more interesting, all that stuff you found out about that song, or the stuff you knew about that song, because since they were singing about an epidemic, and he's got an epidemic...
Oh, yeah.
In his pocket.
Yeah, no, that's...
And they're passing
yes,
the epidemic
yeah.
back, and, you know, nobody wants this.
Yeah, but that's interesting, too. Yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of connection there.
Yeah, that's
really
whole, good.
That whole scene was my favorite scene so far in The Americans, the whole series. I thought that was the whole thing. It was really, really, really well done, well written, well put together, well... engineered. I loved it. I loved it.
So what about the pilot's face when he saw Philip do that? I don't know if you even noticed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Face.
No, he was. Yeah, he was. He couldn't.
Horrified.
Yeah, he couldn't believe what was going on in front of him.
I mean, right
there
beside
him. And he kept pushing the guy away.
I know why he's
Philip
killing
was
him,
strangling him. He was trying to.
And he wanted him off the hill while he was
get
doing
off me.
It. Yeah. So the bus driver gets on and he makes his announcements, and the shuttle just takes off, and this security guard is dead
and stuffed against the wall and partially under the seat in front of him.
So then we go to Elizabeth, and she's scoping out that rustic cabin in her little pixie haircut disguise thing. It looks like she's trying to find a way to maybe make it burn, right? Or explode or
something.
She's messing with the gas stove and the propane heater and all that, and that's really all we see of that. And then we go back to the airport shuttle. They kind of cut that off for a minute, let us catch our breath a little bit. And this is where everybody gets off. They pull up to let everybody off. And everybody gets off the bus except for Philip. And he thinks it's done, right? He thinks the pilot has the package and it's over.
And he looks down and the pilot has taken off and left
it.
The little tin sitting there on the seat, and he is mad.
He doesn't like it at all. He's got to take it. I mean, what's he going to do? So the next stop with the shuffle, the driver gets off and doesn't notice that Philip's still there because he's like hunkered down because he's back where he started, I think. And Philip just gets off and
walks away with his bag, gets back in his car and drives away.
So the next scene, we have Nina meeting up with Anton in the cafeteria. And she's telling him
what she's done.
Well, kind of, yeah. She lets him know that she has a plan, that she has something to work.
His son know that he's alive.
Yeah, he says that he doesn't know what else to do about that wing. That he's essentially out of ideas to make it more stealth. And he doesn't think they're going to keep him around because of that. And she just says, don't tell him. You know, she's just like, don't tell him.
Yeah, just keep working on it, acting like you know what you're doing.
But that's when she says that she may have found a way to let his son know that he's still alive, which of course would make him not want to, you know,
give up.
Right. But he didn't want anything to happen to her, and then he tells her she's been a surprise and he's teary and all that. Can you imagine the hope that he would feel over something like that?
But she was really trying to help him. I mean, she could have told him that, see, just to give him that same hope and didn't have to do a thing.
Right.
But she was actually, I mean, you don't do that kind of stuff in that situation. You put yourself at great risk.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of that, but I guess we'll talk about it when we get there. But did you think at that point that it would be successful? Did you have hope that would be successful? How would we know?
Just the same way we found out the guy got caught. I mean, somehow we would have found out. They would have written something in.
Well, in the next scene, we see it's where Stan and Oleg are talking in Stan's car. And Stan's letting him know, essentially, that
they're not going to turn Nina loose.
They wanted somebody
else.
Lydia. Yeah. And Oleg asked Stan, he says, I wonder whose life we saved or you saved or something. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to say. And then Stan offers his condolences. Now, what was that all about?
Well, he's working Oleg. He's developing Oleg as an asset. So any kind of rapport he can develop with Oleg is going to be helpful to Stan.
But what we found and what I wonder about, and just tell me if you think I'm wrong, because I might be going out on a limb here, but Stan, when he gets these assets, as he's forming these relationships, he seems to fall into the relationships.
He does. Which is really kind of out of character for an FBI agent who is undercover for many years in a white supremacy movement and, you know, pretty hardened.
But you have to think about him and where he is now. He's lost his wife.
Oh, and he went to Est.
He went to Est. Yeah, but he's developed this relationship with Henry, and he seems to, like, be connecting with him. I don't know. I wondered if maybe his condolences on Oleg's brother, it could certainly just be a manipulation thing, but I wondered if it might be kind of a, almost like an olive-ish friendship branch.
Well,
you know?
Oleg is a little cynical about it.
Yeah, he's a little bitter.
Yeah, he's not having much of it.
Well, Philip shows up back home and he's telling Elizabeth how bad it was at the drop-off and that the vial is back at the house.
Oh, that's so funny. I can't remember what did I write down about that. She turns around and didn't she make the boyfriend comment first?
Mm-hmm.
Have you and your boyfriend made up yet? She's just really ribbing him. And then she said,
but I think that's important to her that they do reconcile.
That's true, but it's funny the way she put it.
Yeah, she was a little
snarky.
And
then she said, is that virus back in the house? Like, did you track up my floor?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that kind of thing. Get that virus out of my house. Get that dog off my couch. I mean, it was the disgruntled housewife Elizabeth coming out.
Yeah, she didn't like that at all.
That was really funny.
Well, Phillips discouraged, and then he starts telling her about that dream.
Yeah, I got some questions about that. He starts telling her about the experience. That's what he's telling her about. The dream was the experience that he
had.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But his math, I mean, what year is this supposed to be? It's supposed to be like around,
I think 83. I think we're in 83.
83. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, let's say it's 83. Okay. He said that these kids chased him right after the war. He's talking about World War II, right after the war, and when everything was still torn up. So what kind of time frame would you think that everything would still be torn up? World War II ended in 1945. So what kind of time frame, just as far out as you could think, that things would still be considered to be torn up? 10 years?
I could maybe stretch it to 20 in a place that was...
20 years?
In a place that was financially devastated and in ruins.
Well,
and
maybe I'm off then, because...
I'm just guessing.
I was thinking 10, and if it was torn up 10 years after the war...
Well, what Katrina did in Louisiana and how there's still areas that are...
I guess that makes sense. He would have been born... Let's say it was 10 years he's talking about. Let's say he was born the year the war ended. So that would make him 38, right? If it's 83.
I think that's pretty close.
He was born in 45, and they look like they're in their late 30s, mid to late 30s.
They have Paige, and she's 15. So I'm guessing close to 40, because I think we found out that Elizabeth was in her 20s, early 20s.
All right, well, maybe the math works then. I was thinking, when he said, when things were still torn up, I was thinking, you know, maybe 5 years. This guy,
immediately
not,
after.
You know, he's not in his mid-40s.
Right. Or maybe he is.
Or maybe they are.
Like you said last time, I didn't know there was going to be math on this podcast.
Well, I didn't either, and it took me a long time to, you know, add that up. So, but you've helped me. So if you think that things can still be torn up, As much as 20 years.
See, how long has it been since Katrina? And that was not a war. This was a, you know, a hurricane. And it's been how many years now?
Yeah.
It's been a bunch. And it's still, I mean, it was so devastating. And that was one state, one part of one state. So, well, I mean, I know it was actually more than one state, but that one area that we're talking about in Louisiana.
Did you see Elizabeth's reaction? You know, I hit him really hard. She goes, good.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But that was before he told her that he hit him again and again until... And then she was kind of moved, and she asked him how old he was, like you said, and he said he was 10, but he brings up Est again. And he says, this is the kind of things that come up at Est, that you have to deal with it, but you have to... They help you deal with it, but you have to think about it.
He's all into this.
But what do you think Elizabeth was thinking about that? Do you think... Is she going to be at all supportive over this ass thing? Do you think she could get into it? Do you think she's going to fake getting into it for him and see what she can find out about it?
I think she's a little more open-minded about S than she is about the church, just because the church is not not something that she has a lot of respect for because of her Russian military training.
I wouldn't think she has a lot of respect for S either, though, but I don't know.
I think because she's witnessed what's happening with Philip, she'll have more respect for Est, because Philip's somebody that she respects.
Or more disdain.
And works with. Maybe. Could be.
But more something. Well, then we go to Elizabeth's dream. That was kind of scary, wasn't
it? Man, yeah. Well, first I thought it was real.
I did too. Well, of course.
But then I thought, oh my God, Paige is going to walk in there and get blown up.
Right.
And
that's what
and
I
she
thought.
Walked over, and I thought, well, there he is dead. You know, he's already dead. So she's finding him. That's okay. And then, of course, he turns into somebody I don't think we've ever seen before, who attacks her. And then Elizabeth wakes up.
Did he turn into somebody, or was it like somebody beside him?
No,
he turned into somebody.
Okay, yeah.
For some reason I thought it was somebody beside him. But then she turns over and she does... It was kind of poignant. She turned over after this dream, and she did what a wife does. And I know she is his wife, but we just don't see a lot of these tender moments with him, right? And she turned over in the bed and kind of faced him and kind of, you know, fetal positioned up with her face close to him. Like you would do, kind of absorbing his there-ness, his strength that she's not, you know, the strength that he's there, the comfort of having him
there. Yeah, she's going for comfort. I get that.
Okay, so then Philip's meeting with William, and he's...
Barrel of laughs.
But
this
guy. He's not disguised. What do you think about that?
Philip's
not in his disguise.
Yeah, he's not. Well, he's not worried as much, because remember, they've got the FBI reports coming from Martha that tells when William has surveillance on him and when he doesn't. So he's not worried about being surveilled. So he just goes without worrying about it, because he's so confident in those reports.
That's a good point.
And William doesn't want... Philip mentions getting him level 4 clearance or getting him codes. And William tells him flat out, I would really appreciate it. It would be greatly appreciated if you didn't get...
Yeah, he actually says his words were, anything you could do to not succeed.
To not succeed would be
greatly appreciated.
And he is serious about that. This is the first animation or any kind of facial expressions that this guy has given. Any kind of emotion he's showing, he really does not want level 4 access.
Well, this vial and this stuff, this has been a real pain to them, right? Gabriel couldn't get it from William because, you know, there was like one thing after another. And then Elizabeth and Philip couldn't get it from William until the third time they went after it. And now that they've got it, they can't get rid of it. And this is like, that's kind of a big deal. Most of their operations seem to go, if not seamlessly, they're at least accomplished, right? And this is not being accomplished.
No, they've been having, this is one they haven't had success with, total success with yet, and it's still at home in their air conditioning system.
Yeah, and bad place. But then Philip says that he doesn't want to have to meet anybody else and drop this off. He wants to do a dead drop on it.
And William gives him a scenario. Even if it's just the first time. He goes, when's that ever happened? He goes, if it's the first time it ever happened.
Yeah, dogs.
Tens of thousands of people.
With pus oozing out from Washington, all over Washington, D.C. And then Philip asks about getting stuff from level 4. And William says that Philip doesn't even know what that is. He's like,
Philip, the smart aleck, and says, well, it's one above level 3.
Yeah. Now, why do you think William is so against getting this level 4 stuff? Do you think it's just too horrible? Do you think it...
He doesn't want to mess with that stuff.
He doesn't want to expose himself.
He doesn't want to get near that stuff.
It's an outcome worse than he's willing to do.
It's worse stuff than he wants to mess with. He doesn't want anything to do with it. I don't think he's got any kind of moral...
You don't think it's a moral thing.
No,
you think it's just he's scared of it. Because Philip asked him, he says, but this stuff is in my, you know, in my home. He's like, you know, after William makes a comment about pus oozing out of it, he's like, but it's safe in my home. And William says, well, that's why they're in...
hermetically sealed rooms.
Right.
Or whatever.
Whatever, he said, right. Well, then we go to a commercial and we come back and... This is where Elizabeth goes up to Gabriel in the park. Now, Gabriel in the park, he could not look
more like a Russian
suspicious.
Spy. He's sitting there with his black fedora. I mean, he just reeks Russian spy.
And the first thing she says...
People driving by, if the FBI were driving by, they'd look over and say, look, there's a Russian spy.
Well, the first thing she says to him is that she wants that vial out of her house.
I know, yeah. I want that out of my house.
I got kids.
And I don't want you to track up my floor anymore.
Right. And then now, this is where he tells her that her mother died.
That was interesting, too.
It was. Tell me your thoughts on that.
After he got through telling her they had somebody with her, she wasn't alone, and she had a message for you, she loved you. And Elizabeth sat there, she sat there and thought about that for a minute, and then she said, did she?
Mm-hmm.
And Gabriel looks over, and I guess that's his just busted look that we're ever going to get out of Gabriel. He goes, well, of course. And see, Elizabeth knows her mother.
Yeah.
And she's always been represented as somebody who doesn't show a lot of emotion and doesn't have that kind of reaction about things. So I think that Elizabeth doesn't believe or at least greatly doubts Gabriel. And Gabriel made it up because of his last statement to her about what we do is very hard, and people who do what we do can't lose their bearings. And I'm trying to help you not lose your bearings.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much...
So is she losing her trust for Gabriel then? Because we know that Philip kind of has. Philip...
Yeah, Philip's not real wild.
I don't think he dislikes Gabriel. He certainly didn't like...
No, but he doesn't think Gabriel has his best interest and his family's best interest at heart.
But I wonder if Elizabeth's kind of losing her trust with him too. Because
Gabriel said that to try... He thought that would give...
Her some comfort.
Elizabeth some peace. And Elizabeth just caught him on it. Because he doesn't
doesn't
know her mother.
This is the second time in this episode that she's questioned him. The first time was about the computer, and I thought the center was going to lay off Paige for a while. And which is evidently what he's told her, because she doesn't talk to the center.
We could be getting set up for her to just go ahead and the next time Philip says, let's get in the car and go, they may be setting us up to for her to say, yeah, let's go.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Let's pack up and go.
Or not. I mean, I don't know. We got a lot invested in all these peripheral characters and stuff, but...
Yeah, that was totally out of character for her mom.
To say.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, tell Elizabeth I love her.
And I think that... Elizabeth is having this...
Gabriel senses that there's something going on with them as far as their dedication to the mission, or at least with Philip.
I think Elizabeth, though, is having some kind of thought process after she was with her mother, thinking about her mother and her relationship and how she doesn't want that same relationship with Paige. I'm sensing... that kind of thing, that she's comparing and contrasting her relationship with her mother and kind of, I don't know if I'm just reaching for this, but I feel like she's second guessing what she wants for Paige or what she was willing to do for Paige, but maybe not.
You might be right, but you went to the advanced class. I'm just getting that kind of
mother feeling about it, because any mother, that's a real... If a mother was dying, don't you think that that would be a real common thing to say? She has one child, tell Elizabeth that I love her, I'm so glad I got to meet her daughter. I mean, that's a very common thing to say. But
yeah, but
Elizabeth
not for her mom.
Right. So that's the kind of relationship she had with her mom. And the whole thing about how her mom kind of sent her to this.
You know, you're right. I get what you're saying. And she's not wanting... her relationship with Paige to end up that way. You might be right.
I'm just thinking. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Well, then we go to Nina in Vasily's office.
Oh, man.
Did your heart drop?
We got a Russian political officer sitting there with Vasily, and Vasily...
Is that who that was? I didn't know.
I think it was a Russian political officer. They always had one present when something like that was going on.
I kind of thought for a minute there it was the guy who turned over in the bed and grabbed Paige and Elizabeth's dream, but I don't think...
Guy out of a dream in Vasily's office?
Yeah, I mean, I'm joking halfway, but, you know, we're just seeing these strange men turn up. Well, we find out here that Nina actually wrote the note.
Nina wrote the note.
It was not Anton's handwriting.
And passed it along, and she looks like she got her husband in trouble. And she definitely got herself in trouble.
Yeah.
Because Vasily said, we're going to see what the prosecutor has to say about this.
Which is probably not a good thing.
Not a good thing, and you were almost free. And
he's not going to praise her for that move.
She just looks away and says, I'm not who I was. So she could have told Anton that she did something like that. Anton never would have known.
Right.
And he would have had the same feeling.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that certainly wasn't just manipulation on her part.
She was trying to help this man.
Right.
And she was trying to get a note to his son to let him know that his dad was still alive. And for that, she is going to pay a price, and the kid's never going to get the note.
So what about her husband? Do you think her husband's going to get in trouble over there?
Oh, yeah, he's getting some kind of trouble.
Because she pointed out that she's not in prison.
They don't care.
He didn't do anything
wrong.
They
don't care. They don't care.
Okay, well, this is where she says that she's not who she was. So she's saying, I've changed. She's saying, I've changed. So my question is there anyone not changing on the show in this season? So we're only on episode 2. Nina, she says she's changing. Her actions are showing that she's changing.
Stan's changing.
Tell us how you feel like he is. He's suspicious of Martha, and that's a change in Stan. And
He's gotten in touch with his feelings, too, from Est.
And he's suspicious of Philip.
He's got a lot of regret over the way he's lived his life and his marriage, the way he treated his marriage.
Mm-hmm. So he's
Philip's definitely changing. That's a matter of record.
Right. With
Elizabeth's starting to change a little bit, questioning authority.
That's what I said. Seems to be having a change of heart and in a way with Paige.
Henry's not changing.
Henry's changing. Henry's wearing cologne. He's liking the teacher. He's growing up, and I know that's everybody does that kind of change, but he's definitely changing.
Oh, you could make an argument that anybody's changing then.
Okay, and I'm wondering how Paige might change. How do you think they're going to work that? Because...
How many seasons do we have to go with this thing?
Episodes?
Or seasons. I mean, are they going to have another season?
You don't know. Season to season. When this one goes off, it could be the last one if it's not renewed. You have to wait to
really?
Hear the renewal. Yes, that's how they do all these shows.
Oh, I hate that.
That's how they do all of them. Sometimes in mid-season, if it's a huge hit, they'll go ahead and renew it for another season. But most of the time, this time, we had to wait. It had been off, and in between season two or season three and season four, there was like a long, long time, and it passed the time that they would normally renew it. And everybody's just going, you know, and it's all over Twitter. People are asking, are they not going to renew? Because it was like, I can't remember. It seems like it was maybe 6 weeks or a couple months later than the time that they would normally renew.
Oh, wow.
And they finally renewed it. For whatever reason, the show does not get the viewership that a lot of the other shows do.
Joe Scarborough said it's the best show on television.
What other endorsement could you want?
Well,
no, but seriously, it is smart. It's a thinking show, and anybody that likes good TV, I don't see how they don't like
it. It's so well done.
I'm
telling you, that scene on the bus was 80s Russian spy gold.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So then we see Elizabeth. She's at home and she's looking for Philip. And Paige comes in and notices that she's upset and asks her what's wrong. And then finds out that her grandmother's dead and she hugs her mom and all that. And then Elizabeth asks her to stay home tonight because Henry, you know, stay there with Henry because they're going to be out. Then we go to Henry and Stan. I'm sorry, did you have something you wanted to say about that scene? That was, you know. Then we see Henry and Stan eating macaroni and cheese.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Stan's made some macaroni and cheese, and Henry likes Stan's better than his mom's.
Mom burns the edges.
And Stan's secret is that he's in a hurry.
He undercooks it, yeah.
Which is actually one of the best things you can do with pasta to make it better. Al dente, you cook it. You undercook it a little bit, and it's a whole lot.
See, you would know
better than.
But we don't eat pasta. We've been gluten free for.
I know, but I can remember. So Henry asked him a question about a girl, his teacher, who's 25 to 30 years old, a science teacher, and she's pretty hot.
Yeah, Stan gets a big kick out of that.
Yeah, but he says, "Is there any chance that she would like Henry?"
No.
Yeah, what do you think about Stan just being like, "No"?
Well, that's, you know.
That's nice, isn't it? I mean, that's good to be that honest in place of playing around or something. So Henry's wearing Ralph Lauren cologne, we find out. And Stan says that he got a bottle for Matthew that he hasn't even opened, and he goes to get it and give it to him. So back at home, Paige is doing her homework, and then she's like sitting on the side of her bed. It was really like kind of an odd way to be sitting there doing your homework, and she looks really distressed, and she gets up and she goes to Elizabeth and just blah, she just regurgitates everything. She gets it all off her chest. She's told Pastor Tim, she told him everything.
Elizabeth plays it off pretty good, like it's the first time she's ever heard it.
Yeah, which was important, I guess, right? Because otherwise Paige would know that she was...
had no privacy.
...spying on Pastor Tim. Which would cause Paige to be...
I don't know what she expects.
...mistrustful. The phone rings, and Elizabeth is presumably talking to Philip and asking him to please come home. She's stressed. And this is where she's like yelling at Paige that family was supposed to be put first. And Paige says it's killing her. And Paige, you know, is telling her that she's not a liar, but Elizabeth says, "You have no trouble lying to me." And this is where Paige said what you and I talked about a lot on the last episode about how they put her in this situation that they did this to her. They put her like in this no-win situation and she didn't know what to do. So she kind of voices what we were saying. Now, what do you think that means that Paige told her before they let Paige know that they knew? Before she was confronted with the truth?
She wanted to come clean to her parents. But that still doesn't make her any less of a loose threat. I mean, they're going to have to think long and hard before they bring her on anything else.
Does it not? Or is this not something that they can maybe use against her? You know, I don't know, and I don't know how far they're willing to go, but, like, Paige feels like she's done something wrong now. She said, I knew it was wrong, so she has that guilt over it, and she's trying to make it right by going to her mother. Wonder how they could use that against her to further their cause if they chose to do that. Particularly if something happened to Pastor Tim and then they let her know that's your fault.
I don't know if they'd play it that way.
I don't either, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know how far they'd go to make sure this kind of thing doesn't, that she doesn't speak again, that she doesn't do this again.
It's going to require some time. I don't know what kind of process they'll have to go through, but I think it'll be a while before they. Of course, you know, what do they have any bigger than that to share with Paige other than the fact that they kill people?
Well, and that's bigger though. And then the eventual goal, right, though, is to bring her in. I mean, that's the center's goal. It's certainly been Elizabeth's goal, which is...
Had been Elizabeth's goal. It was only Elizabeth's goal because it was the center's goal.
Right, but...
Elizabeth wants to do what the center wants her to do.
I just wonder. But Elizabeth tells her, we'll figure something out. And then she goes outside and she's smoking when Philip drives up. And she gets in the car with him and tells him that Paige told her.
Isn't it funny how they get in the car to talk like it's the cone of silence?
Yeah.
Get smart or something.
FBI.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, they've got a vault and Philip and Elizabeth have an Oldsmobile.
I thought it was Camaro.
They do have a Camaro, okay. But they got the big, I think it's either a Buick or an Oldsmobile. Okay. So.
Well, then as an afterthought, Elizabeth tells him that her mother died, and they hug, and Elizabeth says they're in trouble, and Philip says he knows. And there's a slow pan of the camera out the back window of the car where they're sitting hugged up. So now what? Now what do they do? Because they had planned, right, on doing something to Pastor Tim, like,
right, but soon. Now that's off the table because Paige would know exactly where it came from because she would think, you know, the math would be easy. You know, I told him... Then I told Mom I told him, and then he ended up dead.
Right, the next day,
Mom and Dad killed
him.
He
ends up dead, right. I don't know. I don't know what they're...
Well, the next...
episode?
Yeah, next episode, next week, they show what Philip and Elizabeth chasing somebody down in the park, and they show Paige asking a question, does anybody ever get hurt? And,
right.
And they're saying, no, never. Of course not.
And we see Gabriel saying that Pastor Tim and his wife will have to have an accident
or
something.
Pastor Tim tell him, I know what spies do?
Yeah, I don't know who he's saying it to, but Pastor Tim says, I know what spies do or something like that. And I think Stan maybe said something about Martha being turned or something.
Yeah,
Stan
puts Ander, what's his name, the other FBI agent. Ander Holt?
Yeah, I think so.
He asks Ander Holt to surveil Martha, help him surveil Martha.
And then we see Martha looking stressed, but I'm not sure that's not an earlier picture of Martha that we saw. Sometimes I think they throw in some earlier scenes and some of the things, because
we'll see,
I guess. But this was a pretty intense episode, considering that not a whole lot went down as far as...
No, not a lot of real stuff
not
happened.
Not a lot of revealing.
Yeah, but it was very good. Really good.
Well, we hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Reds podcast. So, Mike, how do people talk to you, tweet you, ask you a question, make a comment about our American Reds podcast
you
with
you?
You
my phone number?
Go ahead. That's okay.
423. I'm sorry. No, you can tweet me at Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tribalrant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so you can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. Ratings are a great way to help a podcast that you like, so if you like what we're doing here, let us know with a rating. And, of course, all this information is on tribalrant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message. We would absolutely love to hear from you. I'd love to hear some feedback on the Americans podcast, our American Red podcast.
Yeah, me too.
Don't forget, we also have a Walking Dead podcast here on Tribal Rant. It's called The Walking OG. So if you like The Walking Dead, check out that podcast. And also, Mike and I do a Survivor podcast. So if you guys like Survivor, check out that podcast. It's called The Tribe Has Spoken, and it's here on TribalRant.com. So any last thoughts before we dismiss until next week's American Red?
I don't have any last thoughts. I'm just... I'm ready to go to bed.
Okay. Well, then I'll meet you here back next week for episode 3 of American Reds.
Actually, I'll meet you upstairs and we'll brush our teeth in just a few minutes.
Okay. I'll talk to you then.
Okay.